Well, as the saying goes, sometimes fact is stranger than fiction. And when you take a close look, or a closer look at least at Wisconsin history, I think that's definitely the case many times. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And great to have with us Erica Janik, who is a historian, author of several books, including Odd Wisconsin. She writes frequently for Wisconsin's Magazine of History and other publications, also a producer for Wisconsin Life segments, the ones that you enjoy on both networks of Wisconsin Public Radio. And Erica, what a treat. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
Should I turn on your microphone so you can? Oh, there. I bet you now we'll be able to hear you.
That's even better.
that's even a lot better. Oh, man. What kind of reaction have you gotten from people for Odd Wisconsin?
Actually, a lot of kind of knowing smiles and nods. No one seems terribly surprised that Wisconsin is kind of an odd place. It's funny, you know, you would think, you know, you tell them these stories and they would think, you know, our state isn't that weird. But, you know, I think people, once they start thinking about it a little bit, they start to think, yeah, there are some kind of weird stuff that's happened around here. Some real interesting people. And, you know, I'm not from Wisconsin originally. I'm from Washington State, and I know way more about Wisconsin than I know about Washington. But I can't even imagine that Washington could have as many odd things as Wisconsin does.
A lot of odd ducks in the state, aren't there? Or weren't there?
A little bit. Yeah, definitely. You know, I think there's still some today, but definitely very rich in the past.
Well, we have Judith tells me that Washington has a lot of serial killers.
That's very true. That's a different kind of odd Wisconsin, Judith.
That's a very different kind. Oh, man. Erica Janik, our guest, you may have an interesting tale to tell or an odd story to tell. There are even some ghost stories or at least some haunted stories in Erica's book. Or you may have some other maybe you've got an odd question. Who knows? Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Love to hear from you. Maybe you've got some odd examples that you can share with us. And you put this together. Well, you worked a lot at the Wisconsin, the Wisconsin History.
Historical Society.
Historical Society. I want to make sure I get the title right, and it's changed.
Or it's true. Been, yeah, it did used to be the State Historical Society of Wisconsin. I actually used to work at the Historical Society, and I was working on a project there to help teachers teach Wisconsin history. And it was called Turning Points in Wisconsin History. And, you know, we were going through the archives and looking for important things about Bob La Follette and the state constitutions and, you know, things you would expect. And
yeah.
In the process of, you know, finding all those important documents, I kept running across all of these newspaper articles and photographs that were just too good not to do something with. And so we just started putting them up on the Historical Society's website, mostly for kind of my own amusement, because this is always the kind of history that I'd loved. You know, I've actually liked history since I was in elementary school, but the things that I really loved were things, you know, like a guy who had a big ball of twine and, you know, the things that always stuck in my head about American history were, you know, not necessarily the date that Thomas Jefferson was president, but that the facts that, you know, the residents of Cheshire, Massachusetts actually gave him an enormous wheel of cheese. You know, these are the things that I always loved and I thought were really fun about history and that made it really exciting to me. And so I think, you know, finding all of this stuff, I just had to do something with it.
Well, the result is a great result. I get a big kick out of the postcards. Agriculture is such a big part of Wisconsin's economy anyway, and culture, and those tall tale postcards.
The tall tale postcards are one of my favorite things. So in the early 20th century, there was a Wisconsin photographer. His name was Alfred Stanley Johnson Jr. It's kind of a mouthful. And he lived in Waupun. And what he would do is he would pose his friends and family, and he would take a picture of them. And then he would superimpose large fruits and vegetables on top of them. And these were known as tall tale postcards. So you'll find, you know, a guy pushing a wheelbarrow and it has an onion that's, you know, the size of a small automobile inside of it. Or you'll find a train car that has an ear of corn that's, you know, about the same size as the train car. And, you know, the fact that he was doing these around, you know, 1912 to 1917, yeah, they're pretty impressive, because often when I show them to kids, they're like, Photoshop, You're like, not Photoshop.
No, a lot more difficult than Photoshop.
But like the goal of these postcards, and Alfred Stanley Johnson Jr. was actually one of the best known for this whole genre of postcards all over the country. It was really kind of about town boosterism. You know, people were trying to get you to come to their town. Postcards were actually kind of a new thing at the time. It was a way to travel without traveling. You could kind of have an experience of being somewhere just by being able to look at these pictures. And so a lot of these towns were kind of doing something kind of cheeky and fun. And the images are just fantastic. There's cows leaping over roads. There's people fishing in these, you know, 10-foot-long bass at the end of their line. They're really clever, very fun. There's a ton of them on the Historical Society's website if you want to take a look for yourself. I think there's probably 45 or maybe even more than that now that are up there, and they're just super fun to look at.
Well, they are a lot of fun, and I really enjoy it. You've got several of them in your book. What about made-to-order farms, as long as we're on the agriculture side here?
Yeah, so this is another kind of early 20th century thing. There was a land developer in Wisconsin, and his name was Benjamin Fast, and he had bought a lot of parcels of land up in northern Wisconsin, mostly in cutover areas that had been logged, and he was trying to kind of come up with ideas of what he could do with this land. And so in 1917, he bought about 50,000 acres in Sawyer County, and he decided that he was going to create this kind of farming utopia. And so he started building houses that he was going to offer ready equipped to immigrant farmers. And, you know, you didn't just buy a parcel of land. If you moved up there, you actually got a house and a barn, a cow, pigs, tools, seed. So really all you had to do was kind of show up at this place.
Well, and with some money.
Yeah, you did have to have some money. He did try to make it kind of affordable for people, though. And so, you know, there's all this fantastic kind of promotional literature showing people, you know, living so happily in these beautiful homes. And he also planned a kind of a city for this area that he saw as being one of the very first planned rural communities in the United States. And so it's kind of got all the things that we think of as kind of good city planning today. There were, you know, sidewalks, walkable stores and restaurants. You know, he tried to make it like a really attractive place because he thought that people are happier if they live in a beautiful place. So that was partly why he gave them seeds, and he offered gardening classes because he thought, you know, if you have a beautiful garden, then you'll be a happier person. Unfortunately, though, his company actually went bankrupt in 1929, like a lot of other companies, when the stock market crashed. And farming really on land that had once been covered in trees is really not the greatest place.
No. So, terrible. The land just wasn't very good.
Yeah. You find all kinds of pictures of poor people trying to make a living up there, and they're tugging on stumps and dynamiting them. And it was really rough if you did actually try to make a go of it. But I just love the visionary aspect of it. The stuff is just fantastic.
I have there are some places I get to tramp around the Shawamigan National Forest pretty often. And there are you will come on and you'll be in the middle of the forest and you'll come to a little opening. And you will see the outline of maybe this a stone outline of where a house was, or the attempt to farm.
Yes, definitely. You know, I just love the idea that people thought, you know, we can do this. We can try.
Well, you know, one of the great homesteaders here in Wisconsin is Judith Sears Poisson.
I was just going to say, man, people who would wander through my garden would think, good thing she wasn't a homesteader. She wouldn't have been putting food on the table.
She is here to help us with our fall membership drive. Your support is the foundation of our budget. It's what makes Wisconsin Public Radio your go-to place for great programs. And we'll get back to our talking with Erica in just a minute or two. But first, Judith, with me to help make the case for you to go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Do it right now to make your gift of support of the programs that you count on.
And last week, feels like last week, last hour, we heard from 38 new and returning members. Thank you so much for those pledges. Now, right now, we have a great offer. It does not involve giant vegetables. Unfortunately, you will not get a chicken or a cow, but I actually think this might be more exciting, Larry. We have a dollar for dollar match up to, are you ready for this? $5,300 this hour.
Whoa.
That is amazing. This extremely generous match is from the Wisconsin Public Radio Association Board. It's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. So get your pledge doubled right now, this hour. It's a great opportunity.
Wow.
WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
You know, in just 1 month, there are hundreds of discussions on the Ideas Network. And when you support WPR with a pledge, you're essentially making all of those conversations possible. So take that simple, very powerful step right now when you give at WPR.org. Or at 888-202-2552.
You probably have a story about how you first became a WPR listener. Maybe you discovered us by accident and then never changed the station again.
Well, right now is the time to create the story about how you first became a WPR donor. It might start like this. I was listening to WPR, as usual today, when I realized it was time to donate. Now, finish that story with your first ever donation of, say, oh, maybe $5 a month or $10 a month at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And the great thing is that story can say, and with my first donation, it got doubled by that great challenge grant. Well, WPR is probably a preset in your home or car. It might be a bookmark to listen on the internet. Probably your home, your car, and your internet connection makes it easy for you to listen to WPR. You listen to WPR a lot, and it's time to become a contributing member.
So we hope you'll help pay for the station that you listen to so much. Make that switch from someone who listens to someone who listens and contributes. You can do it at WPR.org. Or call 888-202-2552.
And we have this great opportunity right now for this hour. We have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now from Wisconsin Public Radio's Association Board. Your gift of $50 turns into $100, $100 turns into $200. You get the picture. Take advantage of this match. It really is just for this hour to make your gift go even further in paying for WPR programs. Get your pledge matched dollar-for-dollar right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I like listening to WPR because I learn so much. You never really stop learning. Being a sustainer for Wisconsin Public Radio makes my husband and I both feel like we're members of a big, wonderful family. My husband and I discussed it. He says, like the Barefoot Contessa, how easy is that? I think Wisconsin Public Radio is important because it makes you think outside the box. I tend to have a narrow vision, and listening to public radio has opened up my eyes and my ears and my mind to all that can be and all that is. I'm Pat Steers. I'm from Green Bay, Wisconsin, and I enjoy very much being a WPR sustainer, and I know you will too.
Pat, thank you very much for pledging. How about you now? If you haven't pledged yet, you can do it right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Judith Sears Poisson asking for your support of WPR during this fall membership drive. Maybe your gift is $10 or $20 a month. Whatever the amount you choose, that's the right amount at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
If you're hearing us right now, you've made the decision to listen to Wisconsin Public Radio. Now make the decision to support WPR financially. It's as simple as that. And pledging is simple, too. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And if you're wondering how much should you give, really that's up to you. Your contribution, any amount, it's going to be turned into great programs, programs that will keep you informed and entertained all year long.
And make your pledge in any amount right now and get it doubled this hour with our challenge grant, WPR.org, 888-202-2552. And when you do, you play an essential part in funding the programs you count on every day.
Our dollar-for-dollar match, it's still in effect. So if you contribute $100, it's going to turn into $200. The point is to give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR goes twice as far.
And you know what, Larry? I'm going to pledge during this hour to get my pledge doubled. And we also have a really fun new thank you gift for you. We have a brand new WPR travel mug, and it's yours for a pledge of $15 a month or more. It's handy. It's sleek. It's, I would even say it's hip and happening. It's a nice reminder of how much, like I would know, but a nice reminder of how much you enjoy WPR, and even better, a reminder of your support for the radio you count on. It's made by Clean Canteen. It's great. Get your new travel mug at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, you contributed. Maybe I should again, too. I just contributed. I talked myself into it the other
day. It's
true.
We're so persuasive. We talk ourselves into
pledging. Oh, maybe I'll just add a little bit more. When you make your pledge, I hope you'll become a sustainer. Your sustaining membership automatically renews every year. You'll pay for your pledge in affordable monthly amounts. Easy to set up. Great way to make a lasting impact on WPR. You choose how to give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We heard all the way from Forestville, New York. Heidi says, I listen to WPR every day, all day at work. WPR is always fresh and informative. Well, thank you so much for that pledge from far away. How about you? You're probably not as far as Forestville, New York, and you appreciate WPR too. So show your support. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And do it right now.
Right now. Challenge grant up to $5,300 in effect.
Erica Janik, our guest, and she's been sitting right here, right across from me, looking and watching and thinking, boy, I should probably throw in a couple $1,000 myself if I only I could. But here I am stuck sitting and talking to Larry, but actually we're having a pretty good time, to be perfectly honest. We always have a lot of fun when she comes by because she knows all these odd facts about this, our state, and she's written a book called Odd Wisconsin, and it's a wonderful collection of strange and weird stories about things and people here of our state. You may have a question or about a weird event, or maybe you've got a weird event to share, or maybe a ghost story. There's a few ghost stories in her book as well. I hope you'll call in at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org with a question. Or you can post on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. I'd certainly love to hear from you. And Erica, we did have a caller who couldn't stay on, but left a message. Igor heard that when the Capitol was rebuilt after the fire, the architect who designed it was so disappointed that the dome was smaller than he'd planned for that he drowned himself. Is that true?
I don't actually know if he was driven to suicide from that. I mean, there was some contention over what the Capitol could look like because there are some kind of, maybe not written down rules, but about, you know, that the U.S. Capitol needs to be bigger and taller than the state capitals, you know, to kind of show its primacy in terms of legislative power. And so the Wisconsin Capitol is a little bit smaller than it was planned to be. But whether that actually caused him to drown himself, I don't know. I hope not.
it's only a few inches. Isn't it like a few inches shorter?
Just a tiny bit.
I mean, not so you'd even notice.
I don't know who's doing all the measuring anyway.
I tell you what, and just talking about that fire, the Capitol fire, didn't Fighting Bob La Follette
fight fires?
Yeah, didn't he go and try and save some things?
He did. So, you know, Fighting Bob La Follette as for mostly his political exploits that earned him that name. But in 1904, when the Wisconsin Capitol did light on fire, he was our governor at the time. And they woke him up in the middle of the night and just to let him know that it was on fire, not really expecting him to do something. But he immediately jumped out of bed, got dressed, ran up to the Capitol Square, and he basically ran into the fire and started saving documents and artifacts and paintings. And because of him and other people, you know, a lot of the treasures of our Capitol and treasures of Wisconsin history were saved.
Wow.
But he did it for hours, and people kept telling him, you know, you really don't need to do this, Governor. Like, But he thought, you know, he really was invested in this state and really invested in its history. And he thought it was very important that we needed to save those things.
Well, one of our great political people, you know, from the state, isn't he?
Yeah, definitely. You know, he was really, I think, kind of put Wisconsin in some ways on the political map because he did really become much more than a Wisconsin figure. He really was a national figure, really well known. And his family is just pretty incredible. I'm a big fan of his wife, actually. Mm-hmm. You know, she was the first woman to graduate from the UW Law School. Very smart, very intelligent. So a really impressive family to represent Wisconsin.
Craig in La Crosse, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a great program. See, I wanted to share a story. My grandmother was a Norwegian immigrant. Her family, she came with her parents in the first years of the 1900s, you know, and she was a young girl at the time. And when they came in fall, and they... this is over toward Victory in the western part of Wisconsin, just south of La Crosse here. They came in fall, and they weren't able to build a house. So what they did was they cut down trees, and they had a neighbor use his horses to drag these trees over a hole that they'd made in the ground, and that's where they stayed the first winter.
So they lived in a hole in the ground.
They lived in a hole. They spent a Wisconsin winter living in a hole in the ground like rabbits. And she could remember, you know, they sent a letter to her uncle telling him to come and visit, and so she could remember, she lived to be in her 90s, you know, but she could remember to the very end him coming and exclaiming in Norwegian, "So where's the house?"
Wow.
Imagine.
That is a great story.
But I'm just, you know, it's amazing to me, you know, we you know, people, these were pioneers.
Yeah.
You know? In a true sense of the word, they struggled incredibly and put up with tremendous hardship, and right here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, great stories. Do you have some stories that are, well, probably not similar to that, but from that time, that era?
You know, I can definitely think of other people that were, you know, living in, I haven't heard of necessarily a hole like that quite, but you know, you do find people living in what were like dugouts, basically.
Yeah,
so they would basically dig a hole in the side of a hill.
So like a cave, they make a cave.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, maybe they would just kind of build a house front to kind of cover that part of it. And you know, being inside of the earth, that did kind of keep the temperature a little bit temperate.
Better.
So
yeah.
You know, because it's just like being in a cave. And you know, that's actually where we get our, you know, the name, the Badger State, because those early miners were also kind of cutting holes similar to that in the sides of hills. It isn't because we have a lot of badgers here.
Yep.
It's because our miners were kind of living like badgers.
Yep, absolutely. Craig, thank you so much. What a great story.
You're very welcome. It's been my pleasure.
Yeah, really appreciate it. Joe in Menominee, turn to you next. Hi, Joe.
Hi, how are you doing?
Great, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to mention that a few years back, Canadian Public Radio, CBC, declared, after having a listener contest, they declared Menominee to be the center of the weird universe. I think that was a justifiable designation.
What was the evidence?
Well, it started with a bronze statue of a moose went missing from the Moose Club. And so that drew the attention of CBC, and then they started pulling up other things. Like, I remember at that time there was an elephant that escaped from the circus and went rogue with running down Main Street with a cop car with its lights on chasing after it. And there was a theft of Star Wars, one of the Star Wars episodes out of the theater. They stole one of the big reels and then panicked, not knowing what to do with it, and turned themselves in after having immersed the film in a bathtub to remove fingerprints of it. And I guess there's just a lot of episodes like that that take place here. So they had a contest on whether it was, I think it was Normal, Illinois, and I don't remember the other city, and it turned out that the listeners preferred designating Menominee as the center of the weird universe.
Well, they definitely couldn't pick Normal, Illinois as the winner.
No, I wish I could remember the other city. I think it was in Missouri, and I'm sure I'll think of it after I hang up. But
well,
someone else probably knows.
Thanks, Joe. What a great story.
Okay. That's fantastic. I actually had heard about that elephant, actually. I gave a talk in Eau Claire, and someone was telling me about the elephant, too.
The rogue elephant.
Yeah. It's interesting. There's some spirited people in Menominee. I like it.
Absolutely. Thanks for that call, and thank you for calling in. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 with your question or comment. 1-800-642-1234. That's where the Mabel Tainter Theater is located. It's in Menominee.
That's right.
And I remember the Tainters, I think we have actually talked about this the other day, the Mr. Tainter had all these friends who were different sizes. And if you go to that theater, you will see that the chairs, the seats, are different sized.
Huh.
And he, you know, he had some fairly large people. So he made chairs or seating, just bench seating for those folks.
He was ahead of his time.
He was way ahead. It's a beautiful, beautiful.
It is absolutely beautiful.
Theater, for sure. And actually, Judith's going to be up there on December 7th at the Mabel Tainter Theater, hosting an evening with Michael Perry.
Fun.
So that's going to be a lot of fun. That's December 7th. Right now, we're talking about, she's not too odd, Judith, no. But we're talking about odd things in Wisconsin with our guest today, Erica Janik. You can join in. Maybe you've got a question or a story to tell. We've heard some great ones so far. Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. You know, we have the fistulated cow here in Madison at the University of Wisconsin, a cow with a hole in its side. And I see our football coach, Gary Anderson, actually got to stick his hand inside the cow. But we actually had a fistulated Voyager.
That's correct.
Tell that story. A lot of people don't know this story, I'm sure.
So there was a fur trader, and his name was Alexis St. Martin. And unfortunately, in 1822, he was shot. And instead of dying, he actually recovered, but he had a permanent hole through his muscle wall and into his stomach that required bandaging for the rest of his life. Military physician William Beaumont, who spent a lot of his career at Fort Crawford, which is in Prairie du Chien, he was really just astonished that St. Martin didn't die. St. Martin, though, with this injury, he wasn't really able to be a fur trader anymore. It was a little too much for him. So he went to live as a live-in handyman for Dr. Beaumont. And he would do things like chopping wood and, you know, cleaning up the doctor's office. But he would also open up the hole in his side for experiments. And through that hole, Dr. Beaumont siphoned out gastric juices. He inserted bits of vegetables and beef on a string.
Pulled them back out.
Exactly. And once he stuck in 12 raw oysters. Now, for about 10 years, Dr. Beaumont observed human digestion through this hole in his side because people weren't actually sure how digestion worked. And this was kind of a primo opportunity to figure it out. And in 1833, Dr. Beaumont published a book that became a cornerstone of internal medicine, made the two of them famous. And Alexis St. Martin actually lived for 56 years with a hole in his side. He finally died at age 86.
And he married, fathered
several children. Yep, had a very normal life aside from that hole in his side.
But weren't his, when he died, didn't his family, wasn't his family kind of, didn't they think that he'd had too much publicity and they...
Yes,
there
definitely.
Was some story connected with his death, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was definitely some family that were kind of... Actually, St. Martin himself, too, tried to escape several times because he did not want to be a lab rat for Dr. Beaumont. But he was generally chased down and brought back. And so I think, you know, his family had thought that he was kind of exploited a little bit. And so that kind of played a part in... St. Martin's life.
Yeah, I think they buried him in an unmarked grave or something.
That's right. They thought he'd had enough attention in his life, and it was time for him to finally rest.
Erica Janik, our guest today, and a woman who never rests, Judith Sears-Poisson, joins us right now.
I thought you were going to say that you have to keep chasing me down and bringing me back.
No, you're always here. Yeah, you try to always be here. This is our Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. Listeners like you are such an important part of WPR's income. Your gift only takes a few minutes of your time. keeps this program going strong. So invest in your future listening by donating right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. How's our dollar-for-dollar match
going? Yeah, we have this very generous dollar-for-dollar match up to $5,300 in effect just this hour. And we have raised about $1,400 of that. So we still have room for about, 4,000 more in pledges and to get those matched. It's really a great time to pledge because every dollar you give, the Wisconsin Public Radio Association Board will donate an additional dollar. It's their way of encouraging you to support WPR. So double the impact of your pledge right now. We really don't want to leave a single dollar of that generous pledge on the table. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio keeps you informed and entertained every day. You enjoy this program, I hope, and also the Kathleen Dunn Show with Chapter a Day, Car Talk, many others that you've come to rely on.
WPR gives you a window on the world and on our state like no other. Support the exciting mix of shows you enjoy and count on this station with your contribution. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And regardless if you're already a member or maybe you're making your first pledge ever, anybody can become a sustainer. Let us know what monthly amount works for you and whether you want it to come from your credit card or your bank account.
It's really that easy. And once it's set up, your membership automatically renews, so you don't have to wonder if it's your time to pledge or not. Start your sustaining membership right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And when you make your pledge, you know that you can count on getting reliability and value in return for your investment in WPR. I think we're reliable. We've been here for decades. I've been here for decades at least. And there's no end in sight.
And I think maybe the station was here a couple days before you were, Larry. Not much, but.
not very much.
And, you know, besides being reliable, we're also a great value. You can turn on the radio at any hour of the day or night and hear something interesting and learn something new. And you get to decide how much you pay. So invest in this great service right now. Get your pledge doubled during this hour. Choose the amount you want to give and then give it. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now, and we're sitting at $1,415. We got about $4,000 here still on the table.
In the next 40 minutes.
Your gift
20
of,
minutes, sorry.
Yeah, 20 minutes. Yeah. Your gift of $50, it turns into $100. Or if it's a $100 gift, it turns into $200. If it's a $1,000 gift, it turns into $2,000. So take advantage of this match to make your gift go even further in paying for WPR programs. Get your pledge matched dollar for dollar right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Hi, this is Ari Shapiro from NPR News. You listen to public radio all year round, so why not spread your contribution out the same way? Try your station's monthly sustainer plan. It's a modest amount that gets billed to your credit card every month, so your contribution keeps giving all year. And the sustaining gift renews automatically, so you don't have to worry about it. At $10 a month, it's an easy way to secure the future of public radio. Here's how to sign up.
You go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your pledge of support during our fall membership drive. Larry Mueller here with Judith Sears Poisson asking for your support of WPR. And thanks in advance for your gift. Maybe it was $10 or $15 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You know, we live in a generous society. We're quick to help a neighbor in need. We chip in for good causes. And we certainly spare no expense when we see a Girl Scout coming with her cookies or a Boy Scout with that popcorn.
Continue that tradition of a generous society. You'll do that when you support WPR right now. If you've never given to WPR before, you can become our next new member at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. We have 9 new ones this hour so far. Many new members give $5 a month, but the amount could be $10, whatever's right for you.
Any amount. And again, this hour only, it will be doubled. So this is a great time. You love WPR because it's your source for intelligent radio. But there are bills associated with high-quality radio, and that's where you come in. Your support is so important.
It's easy and quick to do. You'll be finished in no time at all. Your contribution, any amount, $10 a month, let's say, at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Makes us possible here.
And again, our dollar-for-dollar match is still in effect. It's up to $5,300 during this hour. That's a big challenge, and we're hoping that we and you are up to meeting that challenge. So give now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Your support of WPR goes twice as far right now.
We have a new WPR travel mug, and it's yours for a pledge of $15 a month or more. Handy, nice reminder of how much you enjoy WPR, made by Clean Canteen. Get your new travel mug at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We took a little jump up there, but there's still room for $3,000 more in pledges to be matched dollar for dollar. When you make your pledge, think about becoming a sustainer. Your sustaining membership automatically renews every year, comes out in small monthly payments. It's easy to set up, and it's a great way to make a lasting impression on WPR. You choose how to give and what amount is right for you, and then do it. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here with my guest today, Erica Janik, who is a historian and the author of quite a few books, including the one we're talking about today. It's called Odd Wisconsin. It's about all the crazy and weird events and people that we've have here in the state and what's happened to them. And you know, not only weird, but I mean some really exciting and some very worthwhile and monumental things that have happened here in the state. So hope you'll join in. Maybe you've got a great story to tell, or maybe have a question about one of these odd examples. Call us at 1-800-642-1234. Love to hear from you. Richard in Rice Lake, thank you for waiting. Hi, what's on your mind?
Yes, I've been on a tour of La Crosse back in the 90s, and the guide that was taking us around, we stopped by a house, an older, well-built, to-do house, and the owner of it was not collecting money, but taking in money from immigrants that were coming, like, from the Scandinavian countries. They were told that, you know, he was a man to trust, and he would hold on to their money until they got settled, and then they would, I guess, try to get it or come and get it. And when the gentleman died, the house was sold, and I believe it was in the early 90s, it could have been in the late 80s, the father and son went in there and decided this one room needed to be redone. So they start to tear the walls apart. And here between the studs, they found sacks of money. So they figured that it was from these immigrants. And I believe they said they were going to try to track down the immigrants that had actually given the money to this man.
Wow. I have never heard that story. Have you heard that one before?
I have never heard that story before. When he started, I'm like, this sounds like a swindle. Sounds like, I don't know, like taking these immigrants' money. But no, I've never heard that before. That's fascinating.
That's when we should look that one up. It happened in La Crosse, right, Richard?
Yes. Yes, it did. And the guy that was giving us the tour, he worked for one of the radio stations there.
Oh.
So figured it must have been true.
Well, if you hear it on radio, especially on my show, it's sure to be true.
That's exactly right. Exactly right.
But actually, Erica wrote that down, so she's going to check on that. You're going to check on that, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I've actually been writing down all these things that people have been saying, because this is how we get odd stories. You know, there's only so much that, you know, I personally can find, as well as other people can tell me. So I love hearing people's stories from all over the state.
Oh, this is great. Thank you, Richard.
I know of another story that took place during the Depression.
Okay.
At one of the CCC camps.
Okay.
It was in Manitouish Waters is where it took place, in that area.
Uh-huh.
Now, originally I heard this story take place on Paul Harvey was telling it. And he said to where Dillinger was supposedly in that area, and the FBI, or then they were the G-Men, were told that he was going to be at this one little store, restaurant out in the country.
Yeah.
And he had robbed a bank just before that, so that's why they were after him. And they set up to ambush him when he came in.
Yeah.
And the a car came in that kind of was the description of what Dillinger was driving right then, and the G-Men opened up on it. Well, it turned out that it was the wrong car, and supposedly Dillinger, before the FBI or G-Men got there, had gone out the back door, and they don't know if he buried the money or what.
You know, that restaurant is still there with the bullet holes.
Yep.
Still in the wall.
And what's that movie with Johnny Depp? What's that called?
Oh.
Public Enemy?
Public Enemy, yeah.
Is that what it was called?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that actually did happen. And I can tell you another story relating to that. This goes back now probably 20 years. I was fishing, musky fishing up there, and one of the guides, a guide who owned the resort where we were staying, was actually a young busboy at the restaurant that evening and was kidnapped along with the cook by one of Dillinger's, I don't know if it was Babyface Nelson or who it was, that actually they escaped out the back and he had them by gunpoint and they rowed across part of the lake.
Wow.
And he told, he was kind of reluctant to tell that story, but he told that story. And so I actually had a chance to talk to somebody who was actually there. He
wow.
was a really young guy, you know, just a young kid, you know, working as a busboy there. So, Richard, great story. Thank you so much. Appreciate it very much. Wow. Those are fun, aren't they?
They are super fun.
Kent in Platteville. Hi. Thank you for calling.
Yes, do you hear me all right?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I'm a retired school teacher, and for the Grant County Historical Society, I tell stories that Alona Kinchy used to tell. She passed away now, and her ancestors were here, and she has folklore stories. Like, I'd like to tell one about, she said there was a traveling minister coming through Platteville, a circuit rider, and he was talking about the devil, and the local doctor had too much to drink, and he was in the back of church. And the minister said, the devil's everywhere. In fact, he's right here beside me, you know, tempting me to go bad. And the doctor stood up and shot two shots into the corner and said, there, I took care of that devil, Parson. You don't have to worry about him anymore. and then he left town, and I looked, and he did leave town. And I guess it's written up in some local church history, she said, too. And then, like how Grant County got its history, it's not after President Grant, but a trapper. And the folklore story is he had a kettle on top of his head, and then he covered that with a raccoon hat. And some Native Americans one day got angry at him because of how he was trading with the other Native Americans. And they went, and when they tried to hit him on top of the head, a kettle rang out with a bong, and they left him alone after that and called it Grant's Land. So the other one I got kicked out, she said that her... it wasn't in the paper, she said, but this guy was down and trapped in the mine. And she showed me the real article where he was trapped for 26 hours in the mine and came out alive. But and they bought the prayer meetings they had and everything, she said. But the sad thing is they didn't, there some people down on 2nd Street where there's still bars, they were placing bets on when he'd get out and whether he'd get out and all that stuff. But anyway, she was a lady who had all these stories that she told my 6th graders over the years. And now I just tell some of those. And your book sounds like it's right in that alley.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. That's fantastic. I love those stories.
Oh, yeah. I can just tell from how you told those stories, you'd love Erica's book as well. So you can still order those, can't you?
Oh, yeah, of course you can.
Yeah, you can get copies of those yet. Go to your local bookstore is going to order them for you, or order them online, whatever. Yeah, do that. An email from Cindy, who lived near the town of Ojibwe in Sawyer County in 1998 to 2003. They learned that the town of Ojibwe was one of those planned developments we were talking about earlier. When they lived there, many of the buildings were standing, but now there are only two or three left. One's the post office, another a large building that's a private residence that's being restored. They called it Happy Land.
Yep, that's actually the town that was the centerpiece of that of the made-to-order farms. It was that Ojibwa. And yeah, they did build a fair number of the buildings. And in the promotional brochures, you do see it called Happy Land. And but as I said, you know, there's lots of stumps, and I'm not sure it was so happy. Unless blowing up stumps is all about happiness.
Well, blowing up stumps would be a lot of fun.
It's true.
But not if you were doing it for actual work.
Exactly.
For doing it for fun. You know, this is something Michael Perry, I should call him up. Maybe we can go and blow up a stump somewhere.
Perfect.
Well, also, he's got his neighbor Tom with his cannon.
Yeah.
You could blow up the stump with a cannon.
Yeah. Can I come?
Yeah, that'll be fun. But, you know, that happy person you heard was Judith Sears Poisson joining us again. She is one of the happier people that I know. And
I will own up to. Some of the other things you say about me are not quite true.
Well, she's happy because she loves working at Wisconsin Public Radio, and she loves talking about our membership drive. Your support, of course, makes that drive happen. You are the single largest piece of funding here at WPR. So I hope you'll give now any amount. WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And you know what else I'm happy about? I went and made my pledge during that last break.
Good for
So I took advantage of that great dollar-for-dollar match up to $5,300. That's in effect right now. We are
about 1,000 short.
We're about 1,000 short for the next 7 minutes. So we really need your help. It's a great time to pledge because every dollar you give, Wisconsin Public Radio Association board will donate an additional dollar. It's their way of encouraging you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. So double the impact of your pledge right now. It's only for this hour, and this hour is almost up. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You hear great guests all day long on the Ideas Network. This is a unique radio service in the nation. Your support makes it possible. Please pledge now for the station that you rely on and enjoy, and go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio is your radio station, the one that wakes you up in the morning, definitely does me, rides with you on your commute, same again with me, and offers great companionship during the day.
And the beauty of public radio is that you get to decide how much to pay for the programs you enjoy. I know many first-time donors give $5 a month. Your gift, combined with donations from other listeners, adds up to Wisconsin Public Radio's single largest source of funding. So become our next new member right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Hi, I'm Marilyn from Madison, Wisconsin. It's just so much a part of me. I know it's always there for me. It's the only station, I think, that I have practically on my car radio. That and a little classic rock. And when I was on the road going to all the little metropoli as poet laureate in Wisconsin, the towns and villages, it was always there. You know, I never felt like I was out of the loop. It just comes with me every day during my day, sort of like a dog. A very friendly dog. So if you're a listener, why not try to be a sustainer? You won't have to feel one bit guilty anymore for not having done it. When you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio, you can be proud that you are part of the team.
You know, some listener said I was a reincarnated
golden retriever.
Golden retriever. That
Even
was
better
it.
Than a listener, a pledger.
A pledger, yeah. And by the way, speaking of pledging, we have a dollar-for-dollar match right now. from WPR Association board members. Your gift of $50 turns into $100, or $100 turns into $200, and so on. Take advantage of this match to make your gift go even further in paying for WPR programs. Get your pledge match dollar for dollar right now at WPR.org. Or at 888-202-2552.
You know, Larry said earlier that I love working for Wisconsin Public Radio, and that is absolutely true. And I'm guessing one of the reasons that I love working here is the same reason you love listening, and that is Mr. Larry Mueller.
Oh, don't say that.
But it's true. Larry's enthusiasm and curiosity and, you know, his love of the state and the people that make this state such a wonderful place to live comes through on the radio and is just part of who Larry is on the air, off the air, all the time. If you appreciate listening to Larry's enthusiasm and learning things along with him, show your support right now and help us meet that dollar for dollar pledge challenge from the Wisconsin Public Radio Association board. Do it now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
I hope you'll make your donation in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And again, whether your pledge is $5 a month or $100 a month, doesn't matter. Anything above, below, or in between, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
And the important thing is that you choose the amount that's right for you and pledge it right now, because we do have this very generous challenge grant. We are just about $1,000 shy.
Yeah.
We're down to the nail-biting time here, just a few minutes left in the hour. Give now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Your pledge will go twice as far.
That donation will come back to you every day in the form of great programs. Make your contribution at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 and give as generously as you can. Still about $800 short.
I know. And what would happen if you put, say, a dime in a jar for every time you heard something that you're glad you heard on Wisconsin Public Radio? You know, even if it's only three things a day, then WPR is worth about $10 a month to you. So don't delay, especially with this dollar for dollar challenge we have right now. Make your contribution now. $5 a month, $10 a month, any amount is appreciated and welcome at WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And unfortunately, our dollar for dollar match is still in effect. I thought it would be over with by this time. So please give now at WPR.org. Or at 888-202-2552.
Tricia from Eau Claire says, I love all of the programs on WPR and especially listen to Joy Cardine, Larry Mueller, and Kathleen Dunn. My radio dial is always set to WPR. Kudos to you for your great station. Well, kudos to you, Tricia, for taking the time to pledge. Join Tricia right now. Help us meet this dollar for dollar pledge. Oh, we are so close. We're really close. We're over 5,000 now. Please help us out. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. I got so excited, I forgot the website.
Oh. No, we will never forget the website. It's in big letters.
We're probably saying it in our sleep at this point in the drive.
What is that website? Well, it is WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Make your contribution right now. Again, that's WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We'll be back with Erica Janik after a quick look at the news. So you stay with us. Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Sometimes you think you know the history of your family, and then you dig around a little bit and, a whole lot more there than you thought. The same is true for the history of our state. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along on the Ideas Network. Erica Janik, our guest. Always have a lot of fun when she comes by. She's a historian, the author of several books, including Odd Wisconsin. She writes frequently for the Wisconsin Magazine of History. Erica, thanks again for spending time with us today.
I'm very happy to be here.
And you should be happy because, by the way, we met our goal. We exceeded $5,000 and exceeded the number of calls. So thanks, everybody who contributed that first hour. Just to let you know, we have a goal of 40 contributions during this half hour. So if you haven't contributed, I hope you'll do it at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And I'm telling you, we got lots of things that we can talk about. Eliezer Williams. Did we talk about Eliezer Williams?
We did not. He's an interesting guy.
Oh, he was.
He's very creative.
Weird. Talk about weird. He was weird.
He grew up in New England, and he worked as an interpreter. And in the 1830s, he came to Wisconsin with the Oneida Indians and some other tribes that had been losing their land in the East due to settlement. And so he helped them come to Wisconsin to try to find a new place to live. And he kind of acted as their kind of mediator and interpreter. And the negotiations, they dragged on for a while. They were negotiating with the Menominee Indians. But Eliezer, he hung in there because he thought, you know, we'll get this land. The Indians will be so grateful for my help that they're going to let me be their emperor. I don't know why he thought this.
It didn't work that way.
It didn't work that way. So once the negotiations were done, the Oneida said, thanks, but no thanks, and sent Williams packing.
See you later.
Pretty much. So he wandered around for a couple of years, you know, just trying to figure out what he was going to do next. And in middle age, he came up with a kind of a new idea of how he could be an emperor. He began to claim that he was the long-lost son of Louis XVI and Marie Antoinette, who'd been brought to America for safekeeping during the French Revolution. Now, his friends laughed at him, but he actually tricked his mother into saying he'd been adopted. And he began signing letters and issuing manifestos that he signed Louis Dauphin. And he actually convinced enough people that he was actually the heir to the French throne that he lived on donations from people who felt sorry for him for the rest of his life.
Oh, man.
And he actually, his dying words were about a dress he said that his mother, Marie Antoinette, had given him before he was brought to America for safekeeping. So a very creative guy.
By that time, he might have just talked himself into actually believing.
He might have. You know, he might have actually believed this about himself. He did seem to have some kind of delusions of grandeur. And so, yep, he might have actually believed it.
You can join in, too, by the way, if you've got a great story to share or a question. The number is 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Chime in, join in. You know, we had our own Indiana Jones. Was it Roy Chapman Andrews, wasn't it?
That's right, Roy Chapman Andrews. He really is basically kind of the image of Indiana Jones. He was raised in Beloit, and he actually said that he was born to be an explorer. That's something he said as a young man. And he left Wisconsin after college, and he moved to New York City, and he applied for a job at the American Museum of Natural History. But he was told that there were no jobs available, so he said, I'll scrub your floors. And they hired him. And he must have done an amazing job with those floors, because within a few years, he was actually leading scientific expeditions for the museum that brought him to China and Central Asia, Africa, India.
He wore a hat and
carried a revolver.
Carried a revolver like Indiana.
Exactly. So the press really portrayed him as this swashbuckling scientist who conquered the Gobi Desert to recover relics. And he actually was chased by bandits and pursued by sharks. And news of his death was reported more than once, but he was actually living. And Roy Chapman Andrews is actually widely believed to be the model for movie legend Indiana Jones. They think maybe, you know, some of those movie reels that used to play in the movies, they would show him on some of his adventures. And, you know, he was this real kind of dashing guy. And Roy Chapman Andrews, in his retirement, he wrote a lot of books about his adventures. And he also did something interesting. He started writing kids' books about dinosaurs. And he's widely credited with kind of igniting an interest in children in dinosaurs, that there weren't a lot of books for kids about dinosaurs at the time. And, you know, obviously kids are still really into dinosaurs to this day. And it might be because of Roy Chapman Andrews.
Well, that is really, really cool. And he lived a pretty long life, didn't he?
He did, yeah. I'm not exactly sure when he died, but he definitely had a very full, very full life.
Ah, yeah. It's the kind of life you think, gosh, that must have been fun.
Really fun and kind of unimaginable, too. I just, you know, just being able to travel the world and find all of these new things. And don't know, I'm going to do that.
I kind of like to get out and do a little of it. I don't know that I want to be chased by bandits, but
yeah,
make
or
a
the
good
sharks.
Story.
That's true.
Well, I did have a gun pointed at me once when I was in Nicaragua. I could tell that story.
Perfect.
I'll maybe do that. People thought I was working for the CIA back in the day. So that's a whole nother story. I will be glad to tell at another time. But I want to talk about some of the – you had some spooky – you know, Halloween's coming. Yep. There were some – spooky chapters of Wisconsin history, too.
That's right. You know, we definitely have our share of ghosts, and probably one of the best-known Wisconsin ghosts is actually the Ridgeway Ghost.
Yep.
And he's on Highway 151 between Blue Mounds and Dodgeville. And folklorists, actually, in the 1940s were collecting stories about him. And this ghost is probably has the most number of stories in Wisconsin and over a longest period of time. There's really stories, you know, from about the 1840s all the way to the 1990s about the Ridgeway Ghost. And actually one of the stories actually made the New York Times in 1902. There was a guy named John Lewis, and he was a farmer. And one night he was out helping his friend with some butchering. And he was just walking home at nighttime, and while he was climbing over a stone wall, he all of a sudden saw this ghostly figure. Unfortunately, this wasn't a friendly ghost, and it actually threw him back against the wall. And he was found the next morning only kind of half conscious, and he described kind of a force throwing him up in the air that seemed kind of like how a tornado would throw around a house or something. And unfortunately, Lewis actually ended up dying from the experience, and he claimed that a ghost had killed him. Many residents gave a lot of accounts that were very similar to this kind of idea of being thrown back in your yard and this kind of wind force in the area. And they say that this ghost was actually a man who was killed in a bar fight in the 1840s. And apparently he was still spoiling for a fight. And so this is probably, Wisconsin's best known and longest known ghost.
Yeah, I would think so. We have some history of spiritualism in the state, too, do we not?
We do. You know, spiritualism was pretty popular in the United States in the 1850s and the 1860s. And this is, you know, the idea that you can talk to the dead through a medium. Mm-hmm. And all kinds of people did it all over the place. And some of the biggest followers of it were actually here in southern Wisconsin, and Lake Mills and Waterloo and Watertown. I'm not sure if it's something about the water that makes you a big fan of spiritualism. But there was actually a man, and his name was Morris Pratt, and he came to Wisconsin in the 1820s from New York, and he was a huge fan of spiritualism. He thought it was definitely the truth. This is how you were going to find out about life after death, and that it was very scientific. And he claimed that if he ever was rich, he would actually build a school to teach spiritualism. Morris Pratt was very fortunate to be friends with a very famous Wisconsin psychic. Her name was Mary Hayes Chenoweth, and she actually used her psychic abilities to offer financial advice, very handy. And she advised him to invest in some land in northern Wisconsin, and the land turned out to have some of the richest iron ore in the state, and Morris Pratt literally became wealthy overnight. And he never forgot his promise to build a school. And so he began building a school in Whitewater that, unfortunately, he died before he got to see it open. It opened in 1902 and was called the Morris Pratt Institute. And it was the world's only spiritualist school. And you could go there and take classes in things like English and math. And you would also take classes in telepathy and the science of seances and mediumship. And the school is actually still around today.
It is.
It relocated to Milwaukee. And so you can still take classes there. So if you're interested, you know, it's on Watertown Plank Road. It's mostly a correspondence course.
There's
at this
the water
point.
Again.
That's right. That's something about this water. This is interesting. I hadn't put all of this together until right now. But yeah, you know, they're still teaching people all of this, these science of seances and psychic surgery. And a lot of their graduates go on to serve as clergy in spiritualist churches.
You know, you were talking about water reminded me of another story, and it's an interesting story to me now. It has to do with Waukesha's water.
That's right. Yeah, so Waukesha was actually very famous for its water, its healing water. It was called the Saratoga of the West. You know, Saratoga, New York was actually famous for its healing waters. Yeah. And so Waukesha itself earned that name. There was a man named Colonel Richard Dunbar. And in about 1869, he was walking through his sister-in-law's pasture, and he happened upon the spring, and it was a really hot day. And so he started just guzzling water out of this stream. And he declared that the most delicious best thing he'd ever had in his life. So he purchased the spring from his sister-in-law, and he named it Bethesda, and he began basically selling this miracle delicious water. And this really ushered in kind of a long period of fame and fortune for Waukesha. Soon, elegant hotels and these beautiful parks were lining the city streets, and people would come from all over to take these waters. Some of them were just trying to escape the summer heat, too, because it was a nice, cool place. And others really did think that the waters could heal them from certain ailments. The number of people coming became so vast that in the 1890s, there were actually 25 trains a day from Chicago alone going to Waukesha.
Wow.
It's really incredible.
Unbelievable.
And, you know, this wasn't the only place in Wisconsin selling its miracle water. There was some towns along the St. Croix River. There was a company there called Bethania Mineral Springs, and they bottled mineral waters and fruit drinks, as well as something that to me sounds kind of gross, but I haven't tried it, so maybe it's good, called Alfalusa, which was made out of alfalfa. I don't know. But the most famous of the Waukesha companies was actually White Rock Spring, and they were probably as famous for their water as their symbol, which was a topless Psyche woman admiring herself in a pool of water. So the legend has it that Charles Lindbergh actually broke a bottle of White Rock over the Spirit of St. Louis. And so, you know, it had a real big following.
Well, the interesting thing about Waukesha, of course, is that now Waukesha is trying to get water from Lake Michigan.
Exactly. It's such a strange fate for a town that was so famous for its water, and now it doesn't seem to have any.
Oh, man. Actually, one other comment here. We have a Facebook comment from Pam. Amons Anderson, Merchant Prince of La Crosse, was the man who an earlier caller from La Crosse referred to. The coins were actually found around 1978 by boys hired by the Pelling family when they began restoring his home, found while digging under the foundation. There were not allegations that he stole the money. He really had an untarnished reputation in his assistance to his fellow Norwegian immigrants.
That's great. I'm glad it wasn't a little shady. Sounded a little shady, but I'm glad to know that it was a good thing.
He was an honest person. One of the most honest people that I know is Judith Sears Poisson, who joins us again.
I drink a lot of water, too, if you want to tie that in.
She goes to the well pretty often, I'll tell you that. And she is coming back to the well again for our fall membership drive, and we're here to let you know how important your support is. Your gift makes a huge difference. It's what powers WPR. So step up and be counted as a supporter with your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Well, and I have really exciting news to share because, as you may recall, last hour we had a dollar-for-dollar challenge from the Wisconsin Public Radio Association Board. $5,300 would be matched. We came in at almost $7,500. So thank you so, so much for that support. It warms our hearts. And, you know, no resting on our laurels, unfortunately, though, because we have a new goal just for this half hour. So really, just for this next 10 minutes, our goal is 40 pledges. We already have 5. So we're looking for 35 more pledges. And it's pledges like yours that support the programs you count on. Thanks so much if you've already given. If not, be the next person to make the programs possible with your gift. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I know you've been enjoying the conversation today with Erica Janik and learning about these interesting tidbits from our Wisconsin history. So I hope you'll take a few minutes right now to make this program and the many more programs possible. Choose a gift that an amount anyway that works for you, and then just go ahead and make your pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You know, Wisconsin history is one thing we can be proud of living here in this state. Wisconsin Public Radio is another thing. It really is a unique treasure. And we make giving as easy as we possibly can. We just need your name, contact information, the amount of your pledge, how you'd like to pay. I actually did it, and it really did just take a couple minutes.
Mm-hmm. I actually, the other day, when I did it, I used my credit card, and that worked. It took me less than 2 minutes, I think. You can start automatic sustaining donations directly from your bank account. That's what I should have done. I didn't. But you choose how to give, and then you go ahead and do it at WPR.org
or at 888-202-2552.
Who knows? You might talk yourself into another pledge during this pledge drive.
That's why I don't do it, because I keep talking myself into it.
We keep talking ourselves into it because we really do believe in WPR. And on WPR, you get unbiased news, high-quality entertainment, informative talk, great music, great guests like Erica Janik. You get a rich experience no matter when you tune in.
This depth and breadth is possible thanks to listener contributions, so I hope you'll make yours now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And if you're able to, consider making a donation of $1,200. Listener support is really crucial, not just to today on WPR, but to the future. If you'd like to do more than you've done before, consider making that leadership gift of $100 a month. But please know, a gift of any amount really is appreciated. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
I'm John Nevins from Janesville, Wisconsin, and today I'd like to just share a little bit about why public radio means something to me. As a young boy, I listened to the radio quite a bit because we didn't have television. And I remember laying many times on a Saturday morning in front of the radio and listening to the programming and imagining that I was with the Lone Ranger or with whoever it was that was on the radio. And my parents forbid me to listen to the Green Hornet, but we used to sneak off and do it anyway.
He hunts the biggest of all game, public enemies who try to destroy our America.
Today I don't have to sneak off at all. I listen to it daily in the kitchen as I fix breakfast in the morning and at noon when I'm fixing dinner. It's a very special part of my life, and I am very proud to be a member of WPR and to be here today to share that thanks with the organization.
Well, John, thanks so much for your support. If you haven't pledged yet, what are you waiting for? Do it right now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Judith Sears Poisson asking for your support during our fall membership drive. And maybe you give $10 a month or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount, at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And we're looking for 33 more pledges in the next 8 minutes or so. Your pledge right now helps keep this program going strong. You know, people will say, I heard you on with Larry during pledge drive and it sounded like you're having so much fun. And you know what? We do, because it's our chance to invite you in to be a supporter of WPR. Make your contribution, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And you don't have to live in a big city, do you?
Nope.
No. You don't have to have access to everything, but you do get access to practically everything the world has to offer through Wisconsin Public Radio.
And actually,
I
do. And Sarah from Ashland thinks so, too. She says,
she does?
I live in Ashland, Wisconsin, and I really appreciate the quality local reporting I hear on WPR.
Did she go to WPR.org, or what did she do?
Oh, she did that, or she called 888-202-2552, one of the two. I'm not sure which one. But whether you live in a small town or a big city, when you listen to WPR, you're in the global public square, hearing from artists, reporters, historians like Erica, experts in the forefront of their fields. Because you appreciate this access to the best the world and the state has to offer, make a pledge of support right now. Help us meet our goal this half hour. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
You listen to WPR the year round. I hope you'll donate the same way by becoming a sustaining member. You can make your decision once. You'll make affordable contributions, say it's $10 or $20 a month for as long as you wish. Easy to do on your budget, and it cuts down on our paperwork, so I hope you won't delay.
Exactly, and your pledge right now says, I value this program. I want more of it. I want to hear Larry telling me important things, making me laugh. You fill in the blank with how you feel when you hear this program. They're powerful feelings, and you make a powerful statement when you support what you value, like the Larry Mueller Show. Give now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
About 30 more pledges to go, and we've got, 3 minutes or so, 4 minutes or so
to get
them.
We can do it.
Absolutely. You fund the programs you rely on when you give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And don't forget, we have this great new travel mug. It's really nice. It fits in your hand well, and it says listener powered, which is really true of WPR. It'll be a great reminder of your support of your public radio station. It's available at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We really appreciate our sustainers, the members who give WPR that reliable monthly support. If you're already a sustainer, thank you. Make today the day you increase your support of WPR. Maybe add $5 a month or whatever amount you choose. You can do it at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Again, looking for about 30 more pledges in just the next couple of minutes. We so appreciate your support today and every day, but do it now. If you haven't given yet, this is the time. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. No time like the present.
Lots of people are phoning in with their pledges, and they're going online to WPR.org. This is your chance. Here we won't be talking to you in about 20 seconds.
Right.
We'll be going off the air, but you'll still have an opportunity to contribute during the show. So do it right now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. If you've already given, thank you so much. If you haven't, do it right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you.